The first inyan is a Torah Samincha. Very interesting. It's on the pasuk Yavcha Oravas Anarim Avi Lemor Imlovi Lecho Chatas Avi Kolayamim. So he learns that this is also referring to a much deeper inyan about a person's nefesh, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And he says like this: V'shem Yoma Adam Malatzar Azos L'Chasin Nafshim Ras Olam Hazeh. A person can make the cheshbon. Listen. Why do I need to deprive myself from any enjoyment? I'm going to enjoy taking as much as I can. When I die, everything goes back to where it should be. So the physical body returns to the earth, and yes, you know, it no longer enjoys, but that's that. And the neshama will go back to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it's going to be wonderful. The neshama will have its Gan Eden and Olam Haba. But what's the point of the body anyway goes to the caver, and the mind is anyway divine, so it's going to go there, and that's that. So he says, "Zei efsha, ki nefesh hasichlis the efsha shetasi seder built ishlemus." The nefesh will not go back to its source if it hasn't attained a degree of perfection, and that because that's what it was put in the body. And if it does not accomplish, and if it's empty, it will sit outside, so to speak. And also, the guf itself, he says, has some sort of punishment after the after death, al pi kabbalah. Even though rationally we wouldn't think it to be so, but the kabbalah, in this case, meaning the mesorahs that we have from a pasuk in Iyov. Ach psora olav yichav v'nafsha olav tabel tells us that there is some sort of tzar. So he says that the neshama needs to perfect itself through the guf, and if it hasn't perfected itself in the guf, it itself will be empty and not royu to olam haba. Now he explains it in the pasuk that this is the concept of the arvus we're talking about. He says in the arvus we're talking about is raya roa ka'orev zar. He says there's the raw of the nefesh and the raw of the guf. He says the beged, it says lokach bigde ka'orev zar, the beged to the guf is like the guf to neshama, or better said, the guf to neshama is like the beged to the guf. And one is responsible for the other. In other words, the just like in Arvus, even though you yourself did not take out the loan, but you become responsible for the other one, the nefesh to the guf has that same relationship. And therefore, if the guf became corrupt, the nefesh itself will also lose out because of this relationship of Arvus. It's a very interesting relationship arvus. We say call yourself a raven zelazer. It's possible when you think about it. It starts in halacha as a financial issue, as a legal financial issue. The concept of arvus, that not only do direct actions of yourself make you liable. So if a person damages, he's liable. If a person takes out a loan, he's liable. If a person employs somebody else, he's liable. All of that sort of makes sense. But a person can actually make himself liable for things that he's not personally responsible, in a sense. And yet he can assume responsibility. The same is true with the nefesh and the guf. The nefesh is responsible for the guf, and anything that happens with the guf, in terms of Rantov, the nefesh is held accountable for. Okay, the next one is an Abar Benil, which sharpens for us the concept of Hashkacha and Mikra. He says, V'omnam, Koach Tainas Yosef Chachmosik Ve'elam Amorim Ro Levaro. So he says, V'hu, She'ein Sofik, She'yesh Heinok Tzastvorm Nisiach Zolakar Damit. There are things that we need to attribute to coincidence or just random events. And v'imadvaran kol adam asto kivin leim v'nimshul paisa v'mikra. Things that fall in a person's way, we say it's random. A person's walking the street and he finds something. So there we can attribute it even logically as being just random. But anything that we can attribute to a cause, we need not or we should not attribute it to just random event. Because things, our understanding of things that are not random is with this clear cause and effect. So our first test of whether something is one of the random events that happen or not is if we can link up a cause and effect. But if something has in itself, it carries some sort of tremendous effect, if it is qualitatively or something about it is extremely important, extremely big, the philosophers felt that it must have come about by some sort of pre-planning. So, for instance, if a person walks into a room and there's a towel there, then we say, okay, towel could have happened by accident. Somebody was carrying towels and fell off or whatever. But if somebody walks into a room and the temperature's controlled to the right temperature of him, the light's controlled, this control, that control, even if he didn't see who did it, but the fact that it seems to be headed towards some sort of very specific purpose, that also it has in itself an extraordinary hashgacha to it. But let's give an example. If a person plants a seed and apples grow from it, so the cause and effect is clear, and we attribute it to the cause. If a person happens to walk into a room and there's a pile of apples there, or he happens to see an apple on the street, okay, maybe, maybe not. So we could say that's random, it fell off, somebody delivered it to the wrong house, or anything like that. But if a person walks in and he sees his favorite meal down to the last point there, or he sees a year's worth of all the different foods he needs, the person will say it can't be coincidence, not because I saw the cause and effect, but simply because it reaches a tachlis that is extraordinary. So a second way of discerning something that's premeditated is by looking at the result as being extremely unusual, complex, effective, etc. Yes?
I mean, Rebbe, with this sort of approach, I mean, one might not be able to discover that for many, many years. I mean, like, for example, in Megillas Esther, you know, there's a whole series of events that don't really have any sort of, you could say they're random, but that's...
Correct. But if a person does find it, correct. I'll give you a mush. Let's take an example. Let's say a person is in need of money, and he wins a lottery ticket, which is a lot more money than he needs. So a person's fantastic. Did it have to come from somewhere? The person says, maybe that's, somebody wins the lottery, so I won the lottery. Let's say a person needs to pay $19,764.34, and a check comes in that amount. So there the person will say, can't be coincidence, even though the lottery was a lot more money. But the fact that this seems to fit something so extraordinary, that leads you to believe that it's much more than a coincidence. So he says this is the type of thought process when we look around the different organs that we have, that they seem to serve their purpose so well. We look at the stomach, he says, look at the eye, etc. that forces us to feel that the person doing it has done it for a certain tachlis. It's very interesting. An aside remark: there is a description of in philosophy. There's a word teleological, which means things that have a tachlis to them, like achlis hayom, etc. So there was for a time, there was a reaction against textbooks that would have the following type of sentences. This plant has this thing in order that it shields itself from the sun, in order that it shields itself from insects, in order that it propagates itself, in order this or that or that. This was the normal way to write it, and people felt that's terribly unscientific, because if it has a tachlis, somebody directed it towards a tachlis. The politically correct way, or scientifically correct way of saying it, does not azeh, is because insects kept eating it, this type of corn came developed. Because drought was common, this type of corn came out, etc., etc. It's never to be understood that as a tachlis. The reason why textbooks were worded that way, because instinctively a person takes a look and he sees something that's so suited for where it is, it is instinctive to us that this probably came about with a plan. But at any rate, the fact that something has a clear target also leads you to feel that this was that this was planned. Says that's why Yosef said, "I don't understand something. Something very big happened here." I mean, he doesn't get to Yosef yet, but he says he's basically going back to this point over here. Yosef said, he said, "I can't believe it was just a coincidence of your being angry if such a big hatzolah came out of it. It's not normal for that to happen when if it just would have been a mikra." So he says, "Kimasha zocha filosof madron v'chosav akeru v'tzirif ha-tzuris ha-chalkis kimtzirif ha-dina v'chutz v'tzirif l'chzish mebeisei." When the philosophers mentioned things that happen incidentally, I'm talking about an isolated item. You walk in the street, you found money. Great. Leibel v'zed v'ar m'gdolim ha-kolim ha-amrav kem tomim m'pol ha-shkola m'ikra. Things that happen to Klai Yisrael as a klal are ha-shkocha. Ki tomid yach sa-odem she'im b'mikra l'sechlusa b'siba mita sh'chai v'be'etzer. He says things that happen on a large scale can't be b'mikra. If you shekvo yedava echad mikra v'izdame b'erech isha sheikoloi v'yedava mushkach u'mesura b'erech hasiba shchivo isay v'hu kilu toimar sheyishlach odem az b'noi l'cho v'yelikness from Paris. So he says, even things that we think are b'mikra, he said, they don't have to be b'mikra, they can be b'hashkacha, or they really are b'hashkacha. So he said, let's go back to that example. If a kid is walking, if somebody's walking and finds a dinner in the street, we look at it as being a coincidence. But if you understand that, let's say a father wanted to test his son, reward his son, whatever it is, and he ran ahead and put a dinner in his son's way, that removes it. So even though for the son it looks like it's coincidence, for the father it looks like it's hashkacha. So he says, in big items and big things, we see it as such. We have to attribute it to hashkacha. In the smaller things, we don't think that it's hashgacha, but nonetheless, in many ways, it is hashgacha. Yes.
Maybe how do we define mikra? I mean, if we're maybe it's an assumption that Hashem is allowing the world to exist and allowing everything to occur. So, what distinguishes hashgacha from mikra? I mean,
it's going to have to be in our ability to sense it, in our ability to discern one from the other. There are things that you need a emunah to attribute it to hashgacha, and there are things that you need to blind yourself from the hashgacha in order to attribute it to mikra. Like in Mechukosai, when it says in Telchim Mikari, there are sometimes where the default setting would be logically it could be attributed as a mikra. Someone who's a maimon has it as being maybe somebody through those mabeis here. But in our case, it was just such a huge event that all Kaisel was saved by this event, it can't be that came about through that. The Maral in different places uses, he says, Dvarim Gedolim Anat B'Mikra, Malachim Anat B'Mikra, Inyanim of Malachim Anat B'Mikra, meaning that, let's translate it into another language. Whenever you're doing statistics, there are always flukes. There's always a yotze min haklal. But the medium of the whole group is never a yotze min haklal. Many times that's because that's the definition of klal. In other words, the IQ is 100 because the median is 100. So that's by definition. But in general, once you've established a norm, then at the level of a klal, the norm will always be effective, and there'll always be these flukes at the very, very edges of the curve, where you have random, all sorts of things, b'mikra, quote unquote. But when I look at a tzibur d'kinyan, when I look a whole nation together, a whole group together, that we understand that's mikra should not be shaylin over there. So we deher hashgacha a lot more on a level of a nation than we do on a prat.
So does that mean that really the difference between mikra and hashgacha is just how we perceive it, but in actuality there's no real
correct,
mikra?
Correct, 100%. But it's very important. In other words, the world of Bechirat for us is the world where we don't sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushing one way or the other. That's how we have Bechira, because we have no sense whatsoever of Kashrut pushing it. We, and therefore, from our vantage point, it's all Bechira. That allows for Bechira.
Except when we have something that's bolded like this, and then we say that's Hashem.
Right. And that's where a person needs to, if a person doesn't perceive Hashem where Seichel should perceive it, that's what the Pasuk talks about, and that's the Bechari and so on. Then it says, "V'chein hu pamim rabbis inyan anoshim ekreihem." This is, he's fearing always the second part. That many times what people perceive as being mikra, ki b'tzirf alem for yuchsa la mikra, kashal ikivna alem ubalem uzulos taitam, kezein yez damen. When they think of themselves, in other words, from their vantage point, it's all mikra. I didn't think about it, I wasn't planning for it, I wasn't headed that direction. But when you look at it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, so to speak, it is with Hashkacha. So many times, it is something which is directed by Kadosh Baruch Hu, despite the fact that the person seems to perceive it as being mikra or just a told it was bechira. Ki ima yois ha-melech v'al bechira, v'ma gam kein, pal gimayin le-melech yal Hashem, L'chol shefet yatech. It says that the heart of a melech is b'yad Hashem. And however Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to, he directs it or diverts it. Now, the whole melachim, Shmuel melachim, is full of kings that did averis and mitzvahs, some are mechekom haba, some are mechekom haba, some are rishoyim, some are tzadikim. If we say leiv melech b'yad Hashem, what happened over here? Ki im heyoyis ha-melech bal b'chira, even though the king is a bal b'chira, and that's why he's held accountable, and that's why you have a big tzadikim as melachim and terrible rishoyim, for if amim yatena Hashem lehetiv v'leharek v'ritzaynay. In other words, Kadosh Baruch Hu diverts it the way he wants to, despite the fact that it appears to the person to be b'chira. Hine, im ken yesh lanu dvarim mikri mikra gamar v'im pratiyim, we have things that are mikra gamar for individuals. Yesh gan gam dvarim b'chirim gan gam v'pratiyim, and there are things that are open for b'chira. V'yesh dvarim achirim shem mishkoch v'fatim v'koylim k'fi b'chinaseyim. So you have a range of things on a yachid level that the yachid can see it as either being, you know, bechira, mikra, or hashkacha. But it's up to the person to see it that way. As a sort of a parallel point, it says that if a person says halal, b'kol yoyim, he's a mechayev and a megadev. So, the few hasbeim, one of the hasbeim in Rishonim is that the person is taking the world of Teva and making it into what it's not supposed to be. In other words, there's a deher of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha in its regularity, in the fact that he has a Masudic world that he allows to function. And in a sense, that's the backdrop for al-Bakhir and everything else. And then there's a world where Kadosh Baruch Hu intervenes and rises above the world and disregards the world. It's wrong to mix the two together. So on those days that the person dehares it as being extraordinary nais, the person is supposed to be mehal that day and supposed to deher it as the extraordinary, whereas on the days that a person is not where the world of Teva is oneself, that's how the person is supposed to behave. So you have a balance between the two worlds. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to perceive the world of Mikrim so that Bechira functions, and in this world HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not stepped in and we have to do what we have to do, and he wants us to behave when he has stepped in and be Meshavechet. So you can't "quote unquote" err to the side of caution. If a person is howl on day not supposed to say he's mechayev megadev, if a person doesn't say howl on a day that he's supposed to say it, the person is a kofer. The person is kofi toiv, and the person is chasson b'china v'techemi bekeri. So understanding and adhering the right approach to it. And I assume in different madrigas there'll be different expectations. A person that always lives mechach pnei Hashem, so a lot of things are seen as in the light of Hashkacha. For the person who doesn't have that darga, more things are attributed to, you know, Teva, to Halach Yelech, and less things to Hashkacha. Okay, I think we'll hold it here. Just